From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's Here and Now. Francis Bacon, $142.4 million. Andy Warhol, $105 million. A pink diamond, $83 million. The art world's appetite for sky-high auctions? Limitless. Or at least that's the way it feels after a spate of record-breaking sales. So what's behind the fine art frenzy? Peter Coy is economics editor for Bloomberg Businessweek, and he's with us now. Hi there, Peter.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. So record sales, as we just mentioned, in recent auctions. Who's buying up all this art?
First of all, thank you for introducing me as an economics editor rather than art critic, because that's definitely what I am. I mean, it's hard to fathom, isn't it? I mean, I look at what people say about Francis Bacon's art, and I look at the art, and it gets descriptions like dark, bleak, violent, nihilistic, despairing. It's just not the kind of thing you want to wake up to in the morning or look at over dinner or, you know, have in your living room when you have guests over.
Well, it's clearly you're not a man who has $142.4 million to spend.
That is also
true.
That is also, and I'm also not one of the taste makers who tend to be a lot poorer, but kind of lead the collectors around by their noses.
Oh, neither
by saying
nor...
what is what is art and what is not. I believe, and I think I could probably do an experiment to test this, that the people who buy these for all that kind of money would walk right past these works of art if they were propped up next to a garbage can on the curb.
Well, I think I've seen an episode or two of Antiques Roadshow where that's exactly what happened, but that's a different story. But I'm wondering, so, I mean, the art world has always had its very high-end auctions. It's just right. It seems like the numbers in terms of the sale prices we're seeing now are really, truly mind-boggling. Are people looking at these, are those who can afford them looking at them as investments, or are they collectors, or what's going on here?
These are people looking at them as investments. They might call themselves collectors and agree what's really the difference, but I believe it's people who are holding them for their public value rather than their private value. Public being, you know, what you think you can resell it for someday. Private being, hey, you don't care what anybody else likes about it. It's your taste and you'll buy it. It's the public value that is predominating here. There are two things going on. One is rising tide of wealth, the super wealthy. Mm-hmm. The other is the winner-take-all phenomenon, which says that certain works get all the bids and others get largely ignored.
Right. So I have heard that in the past, for example, high-end fine art auctions kind of tell you where the money is around the world. As wealth in China has gone up, Chinese art is you know, going through the roof. In the 80s, we saw a lot of purchasing coming out of the Middle East with all the oil wealth. Is there any? Do we even know who the buyers are right now? And if that tells us anything about the, you know, where the money is around the world?
I don't know if we've identified the buyers in a lot of these cases. You know, the second biggest one, the Andy Warhol piece, had been seen in public only once in the last 26 years. So sometimes these things get shown on Christie's or Sotheby's, they get taken off the easel, and they just don't get seen again. But to answer your question, Americans, Chinese coming on strong, Middle East Gulf oil wealth, just where you would expect it. These are the buyers.
Yeah. Well, in the last literally 10 seconds we have, to me, the real winner, the auction houses, because don't they take a big cut here every time a big sale goes through?
The Sotheby's and Christie's.
Yeah.
Because they charge two ways. They charge the seller and then they charge the buyer 15% on one side and another 15% on the other.
Yeah, it just goes to show the money is always where the middleman is. Peter Coy, economics editor and not art critic for Bloomberg Businessweek. Thanks so much, Peter.
Thank you.
You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.